Would you pray with me, Father God, in this moment, in this place, here in this room, all across our city and area, people online. Lord, my prayer is that we would catch those words we just sang. But we trust that you love us. We trust that you are at work in our lives. Lord, may we be brought close to you. May we seek to live after you and what you are about. Father, my prayer is in this moment, in this day, in this place, that we would honor you. You alone are worthy of our praise. You alone are worthy of our glory. Lord, I pray that over the next few moments you would speak to us through your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated. And as the choir is leaving, I would encourage you for just a moment before I begin the message here. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I want to encourage you to be a blessing to someone today. To look for a way that your smile, your presence, some way that you can encourage someone who might seem to be a little discouraged. It is, as we've already said earlier, a day and age that we live in where there are some anxieties, natural ones that build up, even if you're not worried about anything major, but if you're simply trying to do the things you've been asked to do. For example, this past week, I have learned something. I touch my face all the time. I don't know about you guys, but it's like I have a problem. I catch myself doing it left and right. And so I think, good grief, I'm creating my own little anxiety because I can't even do something as simple as that. Can I encourage you? There are people with much greater anxieties today, and they're needing someone to offer them the hope of Jesus. Would you be that person today? If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 131. I want to confess to you that this message was quickly put together. I was supposed to be in North Carolina this weekend with a group of five other people. We were going to be serving with the new church plant there and at Point Church right outside of Fort Bragg. But all that changed very quickly with things that are happening there on the ground. And the launch had to stop because they meet in a school and the schools are shut down. And so we were here. But I had a guest speaker who was coming, so he was going to go ahead and come and be here, Mr. Anil Robania from the State Board of Missions. But yesterday afternoon he called, and there was some reasons that he needed to delay and not come at the last moment. So last night, in preparing a message, I got to tell you, I've been in ministry now for 30 years. It's been a long time since I was writing a sermon on a Saturday night, okay? And so I say that to you to say this. It didn't cost you much to get in here, so don't overexpect, okay? That's what I'm saying to you today. I believe I have a word from the Lord, but I'm thankful. If you see me looking at my notes more than usual, it's because I just wrote them last night. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here together. At 8:08 a.m. on January the 13th of 2018, the people on all the Hawaiian Islands were thrown into panic and confusion by a text message that the state government sent out in error. There's a picture of it for you to see now. The message they received said, "Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." Now, can you imagine getting that on your phone? It pops up on everyone's phone in the entire state at the entire time. You see, Hawaii is located about 4,600 miles from North Korea, so a launched missile from there could really be in Hawaii in less than 15 minutes. And people who live in Hawaii understand that. So when they receive this all alert, mass hysteria erupted in a lot of ways. People ran out of restaurants into the outside. People ran looking for their children. It was a pretty devastating 10 to 12 to 14 minutes. The alert was accidentally triggered when an emergency agency worker who was trying to send a test message that said missile alert, instead it should have said test missile alert. He hit the wrong button. The poor guy, I don't think he has a job anymore. I don't know, but I'm thinking probably not. So, but what if you found out that you and everyone around you only had 15 minutes to live? What would you do? What if you found out you had 15 hours? How about we make it relevant to today? It has nothing to do with life and death, but just with difficulty. What about if you found out that there was an anxious moment happening right now? Well, guess what? There is. There are many anxious people right now. What do you do with that anxiety? How do we respond? I think it's safe to say in our current state of affairs that there are anxious people. And in preparing for this last night, I found an article by a pastor named Clint Archer, and he talks about how King David faced anxiety. So I want to borrow from some of his points and then add to it as well. So if you're in Psalm 131, I want to read it to you. It's only three verses. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent that we had already been studying on Wednesday night. So we covered this a few weeks ago. But I want you to see the power in these words. It says this in Psalm 131, a song of ascents. And by the way, let me stop there. If you're new to this, or if you're watching online, or you have not been here on Wednesday nights, the Psalms of Ascent are 14 different psalms that were written specifically for the Jewish people as they would ascend to Jerusalem for the different festivals throughout the year. They're almost all very, very short. A couple that are a little lengthy, but most are short. And they were meant to be sung. You learned them and you sung these truths as you made your way to Jerusalem for the different festivals, especially to specific festivals. So that's why it was a very specific one that most of the Jewish people of the day would have had this memorized. It says, a song of ascent of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. Verse 2, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. These three verses show us how to find peace in anxious times. And so today, let's look and see from King David how we too can find peace in what can be, in 2020, an anxious time. Look at verse 1 again. It says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. So what does that mean? The first step in finding peace for your soul, according to what David wrote here, is to find a proper perspective. David gets a pretty good perspective of who he is right here. It's important that you and I understand where we fit into the grand scheme of things and where God fits into the grand scheme of things. Notice this. David does not think too highly of himself. Look what he says. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. Wasn't focusing on himself. And then look, he also does not have an inflated idea of his status. He says, my eyes are not raised too high. It's not about me. He realizes that. And he does not have a false assumption that he should understand everything that's happening in his life. He says, I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. So what do we see from David? He doesn't have a sense of entitlement. Even though he's king, he doesn't think he's supposed to know everything that God is thinking and everything that God does and understand everything that God allows. He finds his place in the universe. Romans chapter 12 verse 3 says this, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, this is Paul speaking, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. One author worded it this way, know your place, know your limits, and know your responsibilities. Know who we are. Are we in charge of stopping a nuclear strike? Nope, not a person in this room. Are we in charge of stopping a virus in our world? No. Now we have a part to play, and we should do our part. But ultimately, it's not your responsibility or mine to solve it for everyone. You see, so we can stop and say, as David does, that I've got to know who I am. It doesn't mean that we are then just throw our hands up and say it doesn't matter, but we understand who God is and what he is doing, and we understand that he has provided for us, that he created us, and that the creator is more important than the creation. Let's keep going. The next step that we see of how to have peace in anxious times is to be still before God. Now, friends, I promise you this. Scrolling on your phone, looking at every news story and every situation, what everyone has to say, and every picture of every empty shelf in Walmart, and every picture of this or that, looking at all of that over and over and over and over again. You may be sitting in your chair when you're doing it, but I promise you that's not being still before God. In fact, that's quite busy in your mind, and it can be a little bit overwhelming. It can be frustrating, to say the least. I shared with our group on Wednesday night that if you have become anxious because the news stories on the major news networks are bombarding us 24 hours a day with that, I would encourage you to practice a spiritual discipline. It's called press the off button. And if you press the off button, I will make you a promise. If you will turn off your TV for 48 hours and then turn it back on, they will be saying the same thing. I promise you won't have missed anything. And so I would encourage you, if you need to be still before God, to quiet yourself, to back up and allow God to move in your life. Look at verse 2, Psalm 31, verse 2. He says, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." In that article I read last night by that pastor, I love how he speaks to this verse. So I'm going to read it word for word, two little paragraphs. He says this: David was king, so on a good day, his concerns included criticism from political foes, the economy of the country, threats from famine and drought, the security of his lands, the safety of his family, which was under attack from various rebels who wanted to overthrow him. But on a bad day, David was being hunted by Saul, and later by Absalom to be killed. His wife was embarrassing him publicly. His daughter was attacked by her brother. His son was murdering his other son. His newborn baby died. His sin was exposed. And an angel of death was wiping out 70,000 people in Israel because he was taking a census when he wasn't supposed to. That's a bad day for King David. And yet he says this: "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." What's this idea of a weaned child? It means one that's not just a fussy infant, one that is not dependent 100% on you for food. You may be the one who's going to provide it still, but in some ways they can be a little proactive on their own. It's a child that can eat solid food. At the time that David was writing, this really meant a child probably between 3 and 7 years old, one that could walk and find something for themselves if they had to, a child that would pursue something. So what is David saying here? I think the point that David is making is that they should not helplessly await deliverance from the panic. He says that we should actively pursue God, actively pursue a response to anxiety. Overcoming worry and stress is an effort. It's not just saying, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" It means that we would work to put things in our mind and in our heart that are godly things. Philippians 4:6-8 says this, listen to this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Then he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." What is he saying in Philippians? That the resistance to anxiety, to worry, to stress, it doesn't just happen to you. You don't just get over it. You must be proactive. We have to make the stillness happen. We still, it says to be still before God over and over again. We must be proactive in that. And the scripture here in Philippians tells us to focus on what is true and noble and pure, and to be thankful, to make our request to God, but do so with thanksgiving. Listen, if you've had any anxiousness concerning anything in your life, maybe for you, you're retired and your anxiousness comes by looking at the stock market. Maybe for you, your anxiousness comes because you're a person that you see that your job hours are going to be curtailed because of some things that are going on over the next few weeks. Maybe for you, it's because you have a compromised immune system. Maybe for you, it's because you have family members that are where we would consider in some difficult places and hot zones in harm's way. I don't know, but if you have any anxiety in you, what this scripture tells us to do is to stop and be still. And what Philippians tells us to do is to begin with thanksgiving and then to proactively think on the things of God. Can we practice that now? Would you tell me something you're thankful for? Before you do, if you're home watching online, if you're on the website, you can't do this, but if you're on Facebook Live, in the comments, would you write what you're thankful for? Would you just a simple thing that you're thankful for right there and post that? But if you're here, what are you thankful for today? Somebody.
Salvation.
Health.
Peace.
Thankful that we're here. Yes. What else?
Family.
I'm sorry?
Family.
Air conditioning. Amen. I was thinking I was a little hot just a minute ago. So thank you, Miss Joan. I'm with you. So what else are you thankful for? What's that?
Joy.
Joy? Okay. What else? What are you thankful for?
Rain?
Did somebody say rain? You said the rain? Really? See, you get it then. You're a true believer. But if you're thankful for the rain, you have learned to be thankful in all things. I appreciate that. I got to tell you, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I was so thankful day before yesterday driving through the church parking lot. I went over to the side of the parking lot and there was some pollen pulled up in the corner. I've never been so happy to see pollen. And I hate pollen. But I'm just glad to know springtime's coming. So what were you thankful for?
Freedom.
This is what some folks are saying online.
Freedom.
What are they saying?
Freedom.
Freedom.
Family, health.
Family, health. If you're watching online, the camera adds 60 pounds. Remember that. All right. So anybody else, something you're thankful for? I hope that you will take time in your mind to stop and reflect, because that is something that begins to help us to calm our anxiousness, to be still before the Lord, to move our minds to a place where we can be proactive and move to things that are better. Now, I'll give you something else. I'm thankful for people that go out of their way to be helpful and kind to us. People that go out of their way to be encouraging to us. It's so nice when people do that for you, isn't it? On and on and on we can go. But then it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure, think on those things. Be proactive in learning to be still before God. To be still does not mean to stand still. To be still means to stop, to focus, to quiet your mind so that you can, in the midst of that, proactively think on God and His Word and who He is. Now, the third step to finding peace in anxious times is this: put your hope in God. I hope it's going to stop raining. Sorry, Sarah. But not my hope is, I hope it's going to stop raining, because listen, I can't control that. It's going to do what it's going to do. Not, I hope that they'll change their mind and go back and play the NCAA basketball championship. Friends, it ain't happening. Not that my hope is this or that thing you just wish for and hope. This is blessed hope. It's the kind of hope that is sure and steadfast. It's the hope that says, I know this is real. Put your hope in God and who He is. Look at verse 3, Psalm 131, verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Now, we're not Israel, and I understand that, but this applies to us. O follower of Yahweh, how about that? O follower of Yahweh, hope in the Lord from this time forth, several thousand years ago, and forevermore. Here we are today. We still can hope in Him. We can trust that God is our waymaker, that God is our miracle worker, that He is a promise keeper, that he is a light in the darkness. Now listen, even though we will move to some online services only, we're going to talk about that in a moment, even though you'll see things different, please hear me say this. We don't cancel church. Why? Because this building is not the church. We're the church. You need to understand, we've never canceled church, and there's no church in our city or that's canceling church, because we are the church. We can be the church right now. People need the church more than ever. And so it's important that we as a people have courage, that we as a people understand that we have received the victory of God already. And because of that, we can walk in freedom and we can minister to people the way that God's called us to. We can be a light and an example. We can take care of one another, because that's being the church. We can take care of those near us, our neighbors, because that's being a Christian. We can live out the things of our faith. In fact, it's an exciting time to stop and realize that we do not have to lean on the foundation of a pew and bricks and mortar. It's important to understand this is an exciting day and time, and we can learn to be like the rest of the world, who sometimes have to worship in different ways and different means. Quite frankly, it's an opportunity for us to be the church, the living church. And so I pray that we take that with all seriousness. I pray that we as a group will commit together to, first of all, work on our own personal walk. If you've got some anxiety or you know someone who does, help them to be proactive, to start with what they're thankful for, to work their way to the things of God and the scripture and the truth. To work their way to that, and then to stop and be still before the Lord. To know our proper perspective, that we don't have to know every answer, and we don't have to argue with every person on Facebook who tells us why this is a big deal or not a big deal. We don't have to worry about everyone's opinion about this or that. We simply have to be the people God's called us to be. We simply have to be the ones who will love others around us. And that's what we can do together. So friend, my prayer is, if you've been anxious, I don't want you to feel bad. I'm not trying to make you feel bad for that. I want to simply say to you that the scripture gives an antidote. This is just one of them. If you start searching, you'll find multiple places in the scripture that will help you how to deal with anxiousness. But this is one, Psalm 131. So maybe for you, one of the best things you can do this week is to commit those three verses to memory. If you ever wanted to memorize an entire chapter of the Bible, here's your great one. It's three verses. You can do that. So I would encourage you to do so. And the next time someone's having a great fear or anxiety, and it's going to come again in the next few days, you're in line at Walmart and someone before you's got 8,000 rolls of toilet paper, you just start quoting Psalm 131. I don't know what will happen. I make no promises, but I'm telling you, give it a try. You can stop and talk about how we can trust in who God and what he is doing. Encourage you with that. Let's be a light and an example in our world. Would you pray with me? Father, my prayer is that every person who is participating in today's worship service, in person or online, would take just a moment right now to examine their own life. That we would all listen to those words of David. Oh Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes, they're not raised too high. I don't occupy myself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. I know my place. But I've calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, O follower of Yahweh, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Father, help us to be still before you. Help us to be proactive when we find ourselves with whatever is causing us to have anxiousness. Some people in this room, they've had health issues going on for years. Some of them are facing cancer. Some of them are dealing with family issues. Some of them are dealing with different types of situations. Father, my prayer is that every person here could calm their anxiousness, their nervousness, their fears, and could trust in you, to hope in you, to be still before you. Father, allow us, each to leave here today secure in our place in this world, that you are God and we are not, and that's a good thing. Secure in the fact that the church can shine as a light. Secure in the fact that you are our way maker. Secure in the fact that you are the creator of heaven and earth. Secure in the fact that you are sovereign and you've never been surprised by anything. So, Father God, we walk in freedom. We walk in power. And we walk from your victory today. We pray this in the name of Jesus.